ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नारायण नमस्कृत्य
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, titled The Activities of Maharaj Prigat Vrata, Text 19. Dvanta Abja Namangri Saranjkosha
Dvanta Abja Namangri Saranjkosha
Dvanta Abja Namangri Saranjkosha
Dvanta Abja Namangri Saranjkosha
Durga Shrito Nirjita Sat Satana
Durga Shrito Nirjita Sat Satana
Sapatnaha
Durga Shrita Sapatnaha
Bhumsveha Bhoga Purusati Dishthan
Bhumsveha Bhoga Purusati
Dishthan
Bhumsveha Bhoga Purusati Dishthan
Bhumsveha Bhoga Purusati Dishthan
Vimukta Sanna Prakritim Vajasvaha
Vimukta Sanna
Lord Brahma continued, My dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus of the feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment, because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders.
in your constitutional position. Listen to it. Lord Brahma continued.
Lord Brahma continued.
My dear Devata.
My dear Devata.
Seek shelter inside the.
Seek shelter inside the.
Opening in the lotus.
Opening in the lotus.
Of the feet of the Lord.
Of the feet of the Lord.
Whose navel is also like a lotus.
Whose navel is also like a lotus.
Thus conquer the six sense organs. The mind and knowledge acquiring senses.
The mind and knowledge senses.
Accept material enjoyment.
Accept material enjoyment.
Because the Lord extraordinarily
has ordered you to do this.
You will thus always be liberated.
You will thus always be liberated
from material association. And be able to carry out the Lord's orders.
And be able to carry out the Lord's orders.
In your constitutional position.
In your constitutional position.
Perfect. There are three kinds of men within this material world. Those who are trying to enjoy the senses of the utmost, to the utmost, are called karmis. Above them are the gnanis, who try to conquer the urges of the senses. And above them are the yogis, who have already conquered the senses. None of them, however, are situated in the transcendental position. Only devotees who belong to none of the above-mentioned groups are transcendental. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Mantavya Vacharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagnan Samadityaitam Brahma Bhuraya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. Lord Brahma herein advises Priyavrata to remain transcendental in the fortress not of family life but of the lotus feet of the Lord. Abja Nagandri Sarojan. When a bumblebee enters the opening of the lotus flower and drinks its honey, it is fully protected by the petals of the lotus. The bee is undisturbed by shamsham and other external influences. Similarly, one who always takes shelter at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead is protected from all dangers. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samsrita ye par palava plavam, mahat pada punya yashomurai, bhavam buddhe vatsa padam param padam, padam padam yat vipadam nadesi. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, everything becomes easier. Indeed, even crossing the great ocean of Nisians, bhavam buddhi, is exactly like crossing the hoofprint created by the ka vatsa padam. For such a devotee, there is no question of remaining in a place where every step is dangerous. Our actual duty is to carry out the supreme order of the personality of Godhead. If we are fixed in our determination to carry out the supreme order of the Lord, we are always secure, regardless of where we are situated, whether in hell or in heaven. Here in the word prakriti and bhajatsva are very significant. Prakriti refers to one's constitutional position. Every living entity has the constitutional position of being an eternal servant of God. Therefore, Lord Brahma advised Priyavrata, be situated in your original position as the eternal servant of the Lord. If you carry out His order, you will never fall, even in the midst of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment achieved by dint of one's fruitive activities differ from material enjoyment given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee sometimes appears to be very opulent, in a very opulent position, but he accepts that position to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee is never affected by material influences. The devotees in the Krishna Consciousness Movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have to meet many karmis, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. He has blessed them, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 7.129. Kabuna Bahi Bhative Tomhara Vishaya Karanda Punarapi Ye Thami Pape Mora Sangha. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching this cult all over the world will never be affected by Vishaya Karanda, material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet
of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will thus have perpetually associated, will thus have perpetual association with him. Om Chakshurumilitamena tasmane shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya namaham sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupam tadamyam dadati svayam padantikam vandeham shri guru shri tampadakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamsya shri rupam sarvajatam sarvanarvanatam vitantam sajivam sarvaitam savadutam parishinsaritam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvalita Shri Shakamrutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Deena Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Vrishya Krita Sindhu Vayocha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna So we are in the midst, almost midst of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we hear in this canto, fifth canto, which is primarily considered as the 10 subject matters, right? Sarga, Visarga, Atra Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshamukta, Manantara, Vishayamukta, Nirodha, Mukti, Ashraya. So fifth canto is considered Sthanam, because the first part of the fifth canto is talking about all these great kings and how Lord is protected. So it's portion as well, actually. So the first part of the fifth canto is speaking about different kings and how Lord protected them. And the second part of the fifth canto is speaking about the planetary positions. Very interesting. There is a book which Chopra Temple has come up with, which is known as Cosmology. And in that part, that section has been elaborately explained by different images. Anyways, we won't go into that part at the moment because it's a totally different hours topic. But the point is, the fifth canto is Sthanam, which is the second part, and Poshanam, which is the first part. So in this we hear, at the moment we are hearing about this great personality, King Priya Vrata. So until now, Sukhdev Goswami, in the last canto, at the end of last canto, he mentioned about King Priya Vrata. He said that I have already explained to you the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu up to Uttanapada. Swayambhu Manu had three daughters, Prasuti, Devruti, and Akuti. So those are explained in the third canto, and Uttanapada is also explained in the fourth canto. So until fourth canto, those personages were explained. And up to the dynasty of Uttanapada, up till Prachetas ruled the earth. So after that, there is no one to rule the earth. After the Prachetas retired to the forest, and Daksha was supposed to, who was the son of Prachetas, was supposed to rule, but Daksha also went for performing austerity. So there is no ruler who can rule the earthly planet. So Swayambhu Manu is now coming to Priyavrata. And Sukhdev Goswami is explaining. Now let me tell you about Priyavrata. So at the end of fourth canto he is explaining. Let me speak about Priyavrata now from fifth canto. At that point, at the beginning of fifth canto, Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions. How come someone who has already renounced, who is already self-satisfied, because he has heard until now, like all the kings who perform their grahastha duties or perform their duties as a kshatriya and then renounce the kingdom and go to forest. And now here is the opposite is happening.
The person who has already renounced her kingdom is coming back into the grihastha life. So, two questions are asked for Parikshit Maharaj. The first question is, how come a person who is already self-satisfied, who is satisfied, so satisfying the self-satisfied, the Atmarama Bhagavata, Bhagavata Atmarama, he is speaking about that two words. So, who is already satisfying the self-satisfied Lord, how come he is coming back to rule the kingdom? And second question he asked, which is the question of most of the grihasthas, how come remaining in the material life, in the grihastha life is not material, but how come remaining in that position where he is attached, he is seen as being attached to kingdom, wife, children, he is continuing his devotional life, how come he is balancing? This is one of the questions which is most often asked to all the senior devotees, sannyasis. So they have been asked by the grihastha devotees how to balance our material and spiritual life. So it's one of the most asked questions. And we see here Priyavrata, Maharaj Priyavrata is balancing that life. So Parikshit Maharaj is confused. How come? How is he balancing this? So we have to first of all understand Maharaj Priyavrata is not an ordinary personality. He is at the platform of Bhagavata. So platform. So just to understand his personality, we'll just go a little bit fast forward in this chapter, where Maharaj Priyavrata did not like the movements of the sun. He's thinking, how come the sun is moving and half of the time it is invisible, so it's dark, and half of the time it's daytime and half of the time it's nighttime. I want daytime all the time. So what did he do? He took his chariot, which was as effulgent as the sun. He took his chariot and followed the orbit of the sun on the other side. So, on two sides of the earth planet, one side was the earth and the other, sorry, one side was the sun and the other side was the chariot of Maharaj Priyavrata, and he moved around the globe at the same speed of the sun. So that there was day all the time on planet earth, just to give that facility for the residents of Bhuloka, earthly planet, so that he can have day all the time. 24 hours there is sunlight. And the sunlight which he was giving was not like the sunlight of the sun. It is mentioned that the sunlight, when it's summer, it's hot. At that time, at the night time, the sunlight which was given by Maharaj Priyavrata was cooling, soothing. So it was pleasing to the residents. And in the winter time, when the sun is not so effulgent, he was giving more light and heat, so that it was pleasing, it was feeling like, at the dusk and dawn, it was feeling like temperature was always maintained at 23 degrees Celsius. So, this was the power of Maharaj Priyavrata. Imagine rotating the globe at the speed of the sun. It was not possible. And then he divided the earthly planet into seven continents and seven oceans. So this is the power of Maharaj Priyavrata. So just to understand, by understanding these two points, we can understand that this is not an ordinary personality. He is not an ordinary personality. He is a great Vaishnava. So in the purport, I have divided this section into four parts. The first section of it's a long purport. So Srila Prabhupada is breaking down this verse into four sections. So the first section is speaking about devotees are transcendental to material world. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning there are three kinds of men: karmis, jnanis and yogis. But all those three kinds of men are not devotees. Devotees are higher than the three classes of men. And they are transcendental in their position. And only devotees who belong to none of the above mentioned groups are transcendental. And he is quoting this verse 14.26. Mantra Yoga Charan Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sarvana Samadhi Jaitan Brahmabhuya Kalpate. So he is quoting this verse. So when I was reading this section, I remembered a story which was told by Sadananda. Sadananda was a priest in the assembly of Maharaj Jana in Mithila. This priest Sadananda, anyone knows who is this priest? Yes, ma'am.
Swami.
That's right. So he's the son of Gautama Muni and Ahilya. So when Vishwamitra and Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were traveling. So first they come to the place where Ahilya was cursed, and Lord Ram delivered Ahilya. After that, Vishwamitra is taking Lord Ram and Lakshman to Mithila. Mithila, which is the capital of Janak Maharaj, where Janak Maharaj used to rule. And Janak Maharaj had a bow. So this bow was, again we are digressing from the main story I want to tell, but it's interesting. So this bow was so powerful, it was the bow of Lord Shiva. And it is mentioned that about 1,000 men used to carry this bow from one place to other. So that much heavy the bow was. So when Mother Sita was a child, she wanted to pick some fruits from the trees. So she was playing around near, this bow was always kept in the palace in the center and worshipped by the priest. So once she wanted to pick some fruits from the trees, she couldn't reach. So what did she do? She went and picked up the bow, and with the bow she was hitting the tree and the fruits, and all the fruits were coming down, falling, right? So looking at that, Maharaj Janak was astonished that such a small child, Mother Sita, could lift up the bow, not also with the right hand, with the left hand, lift up the bow and just hitting the fruits with the bow. So I need to find now a suitable husband for this child. I cannot have anyone else. Because Janak Maharaj understood Mother Sita was not an ordinary child. So he kept the conditions. Whoever lifts this bow and ties this bow can marry Mother Sita. So this was the condition, and we know from history, from Ramayana, many people came and tried, but including Ravana, but no one was even able to move that bow by even a centimeter or a millimeter. Nobody was able to move it. So this was the condition. So when Lord Ram, Vishwamitra brought Lord Ram and Lakshmana to Mithila, and when Vishwamitra spoke about glories of Lord Ram, Janak Maharaj was very happy. But again he was thinking, Lord Ram and Lakshmana are just like boys, teenage boys. Even great Kshatriyas who came were not able to move the bow. How will they move it? So anyways, the point I was trying to make is about the how the Tamisnans and Yogis are still on the material platform and devotees are higher. So at that point, when they were in the assembly, Sadananda is glorifying Vishwamitra. The sage Sadananda is glorifying Vishwamitra and is thanking Lord Ram for delivering Ahilya, his mother. And so he knew that now Ahilya was again with Gautama Muni and they have reunited. So Sadananda was very happy to hear that. So he is thanking and he is glorifying Vishwamitra for doing this, and he is glorifying Vishwamitra for bringing Lord Ram here. And then at that point, he is speaking about the story, the history of Vishwamitra to Lord Ram and Lakshmana. So in that history, it is mentioned, Sadananda speaks about how Vishwamitra was a very powerful king. And this is going back, I am not sure what would the age of Vishwamitra at that point, but this is going up few thousand years ago. So Vishwamitra was a very powerful king, and he was moving around with his army on the whole, and he was the ruler of the earth. So he was moving around with his army and he was seeing that everything is going well. So while going around the earth planet with his army, once he came to the hermitage of Vasishtha. At that point, Vasishtha Muni was one of the very powerful priests. He was still present at this point as well when Vishwamitra and Lord Ram and Lakshmana were present. So he was a very powerful and pious priest, sage, Brahma Rishi. So Vishwamitra comes to the hermitage of Vasishtha and he pays his obeisances, and then Vasishtha Muni offers him some fruits and water because they were all tired. And then at one point when Vishwamitra asked for leave, Vasishtha Muni said, "No, let me serve you in a much better way. I can offer you a feast, we will prepare a feast and we will offer it to all of your army as well as yourself." But Vishwamitra did not want to take service, so he first resisted. He said, "In this forest, how can you offer me a feast?" But Vasishtha insisted, no, no, just wait and let me serve you. At that point, Vishwamitra agreed and Vasishtha Muni called his cow, Sabala. So he called Sabala and asked Sabala to produce food for all the king and the army. At that point, Sabala cow produced like the big feast, which Vishwamitra was amazed. In seconds, like there was a big feast in front of the whole army and himself. So looking at that, Vishwamitra said, I want this cow. He had a desire. He was Kshatriya, he was proud of his Kshatriya power. So he said, I want this cow in exchange of 10,000 cows, I'll give you 100,000 cows. But Vasishtha Muni was attached to the cow, so he said, no, we cannot give you this cow. At that point, Vishwamitra said, no, I'm a king, how can you refuse the king of something? So he was very proud of his, even though he was pious, but he was still proud of his chivalrous activities, like Kshatriya position as a king. So he dragged the cow. He said, if you don't give me willingly, I will forcibly take it. So he dragged the cow. And then at one point, Sabala said, goes to Vasishtha Muni crying and said, why are you rejecting me? Why don't you protect me? And Vasishtha Muni, being a saintly sage, he said, I have the power to protect you, but you have the power as well. Like, I cannot fight the king. It is it's not the proper etiquette to fight the king. So Vasishtha Muni said, if you want to be here, you can always stay here. And when he said that, Sabala cow produced armies from her body, and which killed all the armies of Vishwamitra. So at this point, all the army had already been vanquished. Vishwamitra's army had, and he was humbled. And he had 100 sons, and out of which all the 99 sons were killed as well. So the only son was left, and Vishwamitra alone was left. At that point, Vishwamitra thought that, let me have the powers as well. Because this sage Vasishtha has got all these powers because of his tapasya, let me do tapasya also. And by that tapasya, I will also gain all the powers. So Vishwamitra enthroned his only son left onto the to rule the earthly planet and went to tapasya. So he meditated on Lord Shiva. At that point, when he is meditating on Lord Shiva, he does it for thousands of years, and Lord Shiva is pleased with him. So when Lord Shiva comes before him, Lord Shiva asks Vishwamitra, what is it that you need? And Vishwamitra is still being a Kshatriya kind of a mood. He asks that, give me all the weapons that are present on this planet. I want all the Varunastra, all the fire weapons, I want Brahmastra, I want your weapon, Vishnujwara, all the weapons I want. And Lord Shiva said, so be it. He just gave those weapons and disappeared. At that point, Vishwamitra goes back to the in a revenge mood. He goes back to Vasishtha Muni and he starts firing all these weapons on the 100 acres of Vasishtha Muni. So everyone is running here and there, and Vasishtha Muni comes out and he says, you have become mad because of your unnecessary powers given to you. And with his staff, Vasishtha Muni's staff, he just took away all the weapons. And whatever weapons Vishwamitra used to fire, it used to just go into the staff of Vasishtha Muni. So this was the power of Brahma Tejas. This was the power of a Brahma Rishi, who was a Brahman, as it is mentioned, Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. So pure devotee is more powerful than a person who is gained power by Karmi, Yogi or Gnani. So this is the point which is elaborating this story, is explaining how all the, and at that point Vishwamitra was again humbled. So he goes back again and performs tapasya. At that point, he is now meditating for thousands of years, and he is pleased Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma appears in front of him, he says, I want all the powers. Sorry, at that point, he gains all the Brahma powers, powers of Rishi. And in that, during that time, there was a king who was ruling, who is the ancestor of Dashrath Maharaj in the Surya dynasty. His name was Tishanku. So this king Tishanku wanted to go to heaven in the same body as in the material body, made out of blood, bones, right? He wanted to go to heaven in the same body. So he preached was Vasishtha Muni, and he approached Vasishtha Muni saying that you are such a qualified priest, so you make arrangements so that I go back to heaven in the same body right now. And Vasishtha Muni said, this is a foolish idea. Nobody can go to heaven without doing pious activities and not without leaving the material body behind. Because that you need a different body. We know people are going to moon and different planets trying to go in the same body. Right? So this idea is refuted here by Vasishtha Muni, saying that nobody can go to heavenly planets in the same body. And that is why Srila Prabhupada mentions, as soon as the devotee said they are going to moon or they have reached moon, Srila Prabhupada used to say they have not gone to moon. Srila Prabhupada asked the devotee, because during that time there was a moon landing being shown on the television, and Srila Prabhupada asked devotees, what did they see on the moon planet? And they said, the devotee said, they have seen the rocks, sand, stones. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, they have not gone to moon. Straight away Srila Prabhupada mentioned that. Because this is the point here, Vasishtha Muni is also mentioning that nobody can go to heavenly planets in the material body. One needs to have a different body, and one needs pious karma, karmic activities, piety to be on the heavenly planet. But Tishanku was adamant. He wanted to go. He is another Kshatriya king. Because of his pride, he wanted to achieve everything. So he knew about Vishwamitra, that Vishwamitra is also a very strong rishi, is a very powerful rishi. So, and he knew that he had some enmity with Vasishtha also. So he went to Vishwamitra and spoke, Vasishtha Muni is not able to do this. Can you do it? So he encouraged Vishwamitra of showing his power, which was more than Vasishtha Muni. And Vishwamitra said, yes, I will do it. Since Vasishtha Muni has rejected you, I will accept you. I'll do it. And he made arrangements, he performed the yajna, and Tishanku was rising in the sky, he was going to the heavenly planet. When he entered, when he came to the doorstep of heaven, Indra became angry, and he said, how come you, mortal man, is coming, just walking into the heaven? So he immediately cursed Tishanku to fall down. And while he was falling down, Tishanku shouted at Vishwamitra, please help, please help. And Vishwamitra, with his yogic powers, he stopped Tishanku in the mid-air, and is now in between the heaven and earthly planet, hanging downwards. So at that point, Vishwamitra asked Indra, like, if you are not allowing him to enter heavenly planet, I'll create my own heavens. So he created like 27 constellation planets, which were as good as the heaven. At that point, Indra comes down and they have a talk. They speak with each other. Indra begs Vishwamitra to not do this. But then Vishwamitra said, no, I have promised this king to so that he will be in heaven in this body. So I have to do it. And Indra said, okay, so be it. But he can be in the southern side of the heaven. He cannot be in the heaven itself. So your planets can be there. So this is the power of, again, Vishwamitra. He can create the heavenly planets. And we know from third canto also, Kadambuni created a heavenly planet just to fulfill the desire of Devaki. So this is the power of the rishis. They were so powerful they could create constellation, not only like the planet, like the constellation of planets, galaxies. So Vishwamitra is creating this, and by doing that he understood that he has lost all his powers now. So again he has to meditate. He has to again gain powers. So again he sits and tries to meditate. At that point, when he started to meditate, Indra becomes afraid, and what happens? Indra sends Menaka. So when Menaka comes, Vishwamitra becomes bewildered by the tingling sound of the ankle bells, and he falls down and he is associating with Menaka for 100 years, and then he realizes, oh, I have lost my piety again. I have wasted all my tapasya. And so again he starts meditating. The second time Indra again sends Ramba. And now Ramba comes, Vishwamitra understands that last time Indra sent Menaka and now he has sent Ramba. So he becomes angry at Ramba. And when he becomes angry, he curses Ramba that you will become a stone and be here for 1,000 years and then you will go back to the heavenly planets. So he's cursing them by, and because of that anger, he loses his fire. So this story signifies how thousands of years of tapasya of Vishwamitra did not help him achieve the supreme destination, not even supreme destination, just the destination of a Brahma Rishi. He wanted to become a Brahma Rishi, to become more powerful than Brahma. So this is a very powerful story, just to explain what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, saying that none of them, however, are situated on transcendental position. A devotee is higher than all these three classes of men, karmis, jnanis and yogis. So, very important point. And the second part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the portion aspect of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada is saying that Lord Brahma here advises Priyavrata to remain transcendental in the fortress, not of family life, but of the lotus feet of the Lord, Abjanavandri Saroja. When a bumblebee enters the opening of the lotus, so when a bumblebee is entering into the lotus, what happens? The bumblebee is situated and drinking the nectar of the lotus. And it is protected by the petals of the lotus so that the external beam, dust or sunlight, does not disturb the bumblebee. So Lord Brahma is here saying that as long as you are situated in the lotus feet, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, you will always be protected by the petals of the lotus feet of the Lord. So which means the Lord always protects his devotees. And we know this from the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, which will come later on in this canto. Bharat Maharaj fell down from his position of where he had reached the ascetic prema. But again, because of the compassion to the deer and becoming attached to the deer, he fell down. But it is mentioned in that pastime that even though in his next life when he became a deer, he was protected by the Lord. Not that the Lord allowed him to become a deer. But how was he protected? Because even in the body of a deer, he was given the remembrance of his past life. So he was given the remembrance that he is on the exalted position as a Bharat Maharaj. He was meditation. So in that next life as a deer, he could associate with the sages. And in the next life as Jadbharata, as well, he was given the remembrance of his previous lives as Bharat Maharaj in India. So Lord protected his memory and gave him the memory so that he can become attached, he can perfect his life as Jadbharata. So it is mentioned how Lord always protects his pure devotees. As long as the devotees are remaining in the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord always protects his devotees. Another example is of the Pandavas. Like the Pandavas were burned, they were tried to be killed. So many injustices had happened to them. But at each and every instance, Draupadi was destroyed. But at each and every instance, Lord protected the Pandavas, because the Pandavas were always surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So Kunti Maharani in fact prays, Vipada Sanskrita Sattva Tatra Tatra Jalat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsaya Tapunar Bhava Darshanam. She is praying in fact, give us the miseries. So as long as we are in the miserable position, we will see you again and again. Because you come, you are Bhakta Vatsala, you always come and protect your devotees. So whenever we are in difficult situation, you are there in front of us. So let these difficult situations come again and again, so that we can see you again and again. So this is the mood of a devotee. They don't mind being in the difficult situation, but because they are able to remember the Lord, they are able to see the Lord. So this is explaining, signifying how the second part of this purport is, portion aspect of the Lord. The third section of this purport speaks about surrender to the supreme will of the Lord. It is very important that one surrenders, accepts the supreme will of the Lord. Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, our actual duty is to carry out the supreme order of the personality of God. In whatever position we are in, whatever ashram or varna we are in, we have to accept the authority. Without accepting the authority of the Lord, it is not possible to perfect our lives. There is a nice analogy given. So when there is a, once there was a, in the army camp, there was a general and he was instructing. So when the new cadets are joined, so they are being trained, and there is a first day of they enter into the army camp. So when the new cadets come into the army camp, they are all being addressed by a general. General is the topmost position you can go in the army. So they have been addressed by the general, and he's giving all these instructions, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And at last he's asking, any questions? So couple of the arms raised from the cadets for the questions. So this general goes to one of them and gives him a tight slap. And after giving him a tight slap, he again asks, any questions? And nobody raises his hand. So what does this signify? When you are in an army and when you have been given orders by an authority, you shouldn't have any questions. Because the army is only useful at the time of critical time of war. At that time, if you don't follow the orders as it is, you can't waste a single moment. As soon as the general says retreat, you have to retreat. As soon as the general says fight or left or right, you have to do exactly what the general says. Not use your brains at that point. So this is one of the things which has been taught in army, that you follow the orders without using your brain. Of course, we are not saying everyone should. It's a conducive situation, especially when you are practicing spirituality. But the point here is you have to accept the authority. You have to surrender on the supreme will of the Lord. And even the material things, we see this thing happening. So why not in the supreme will? Because many people throughout their life, they keep asking questions. They doubt the authority. They doubt whether Srimad Bhagavatam is authoritative, whether the Lord actually appeared. So if you keep on doubting the scriptures, the authorities, you will never reach to any conclusion. So at one point you have to accept the authority as it is explained in this section. So we see at the end of Bhagavad Gita in 18.73, the last words of Arjuna, what were they? Karishye Vachanam Tava. Arjuna asked all the questions. He confessed, like he said, Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava prachyamitam dharma samudra cheta yashasyam syam nishchita bhruvitanya shishya syam sadhanam tam prapannam. So Arjuna is saying that he is accepting the authority, he is surrendering unto Krishna, and then he is asking all the doubts. So this is the right tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena seva upetashandite nanina sapradasha. This is the right way of approaching and clearing your doubt. You have to accept the authority, surrender onto the authority, and serve the authority. And when you do that and you ask the doubts in a submissive mood, when all doubts are clear, you have to come to this conclusion, Karishya Vachanam Tava. Now I will do whatever you have asked me to do. Without coming to that point, you cannot flourish in your spiritual life. So this is what Lord Brahma is telling Priyavrata Maharaj. You have to surrender to the supreme will of the Lord. And the Lord will always protect you. As long as you are in the lotus feet, you are taking the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, the Lord will protect you. And the last part of this section of this purport is, my devotee will never perish. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya prati janini nama bhakta prayas chati. My devotee will never perish. Declare it boldly. Krishna is saying, Lord always protects his devotee. To whatever level one is surrendered to the Lord, to that extent, Lord always protects. And one who is completely surrendered to the Lord, Lord will never forget him. And that is why at the end, Sanjaya, after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita, what is he concluding? In 18.78, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhana Dhara, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhuti Dhruva Miti Mati Mama. So wherever there is Krishna, the supreme mystic, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there is certain opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. So this is the conclusion. Lord always protects his devotees. So in this section we see many kings who have been protected in different situations. So this is what I've been able to understand from this purport. So if there are any questions, we'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments or corrections.
Prabhu, just a question. In Bharatanatyam story, the deer has a miscarriage and the baby deer falls in the water. So when he sees that scene, and as a Vaishnava, it's natural to feel compassion. So that was his fall down from there and he rescued that baby. What he should have done?
Yeah, so rescuing part was okay. For Bharat Maharaj to feel compassion and rescue the deer. But thinking that he is the maintainer of a deer was a mistake. In that pastime, when here, at one point, Bharat Maharaj was just thinking, he gave up all his duties, his spiritual activities which he was doing, the sadhana which he was doing. He gave up all those sadhanas and he was continuously just thinking about the deer and his welfare. When the deer used to go out and graze, he used to think, he was always meditating on the deer, thinking whether the deer is safe, whether somebody, some animal must have hurt him, or what he must be doing. So that constant meditation from the Lord moved to constant meditation from the deer. So this signifies for us when we are in the situation in the family life or in whatever situation we are in, we should not change our focus from the Lord to something which is material. So yes, as we see here, Lord Brahma is telling Priyavrata Maharaj that you do your duties, but at the same time, as long as you are surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, your focus is on the meditation is on the lotus feet of the Lord, you will be saved. So we see here Priyavrata Maharaj is engaging, he is externally showing as if he is attached to wife, children, kingdom, but his focus is. So this was one of the drawbacks of Bharat Maharaj, where his focus changed from Lord to the deer. So this is the only bad part of it. He could have shown his compassion, saved, yes, that was okay, and saved the deer, and when the deer was old enough or capable enough to go, he should have let him go. Yes.
I was trying to remember the last part of the purpose that Prabhupada explained that by being engaged in the preaching aspect of preaching activities and remembering Lord Chaitanya, it's kind of a protection of being exposed to the interaction with supermaterial nature. Mm-hmm. And can be that compared to the experience that now Priyavrata is trying to be engaged in material activities, so-called material activities, household activities, and but he will be protected as well because it's kind of preaching.
That's right. Because he is following the orders of the superior, and here Lord Brahma is saying this is the will of the Lord as well, that he rules the kingdom and propagates the dynasties. Because we see, this is actually the first generation in the material world. This is at the beginning of the Manvantara, right? Swayambhu Manu was, and Satyarupa were born from the mind of Lord Brahma. And Brahma was born from the lotus flower which was sprouted from the navel of the Lord. So there has never been this. So Priyavrata, Uttanapada, these are the first generation who were of humans who actually were who appeared from the union of male and female, and from them the generation had to begin. So at this point there is no Prajapati in that sense. So he had a duty of as a Prajapati to propagate the universe. So this was the will of the Lord and will of the superiors. So by following the will of the superiors, like in our spiritual life, we always have to. We cannot act independently. So this is the point which is mentioned here. One should never act independently. And that is why many people say, oh, we don't need a guru or we don't need a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is our spiritual master. So that is not a safe position. One should have a guru, one should have a spiritual master, one should always be under the shelter of a spiritual master through his instructions. So instructions are very important. One cannot just act randomly. And that is why Lord Brahma knew the constitution. He's telling in this verse, he's mentioning, you have to act as in your constitutional position, as a servant of the Lord, not as a master, not as thinking, I can do whatever I want. So when you are a servant of the superiors, you follow the instructions of the superiors. So this is what is required. If the spiritual, because the spiritual master understands your psychophysical nature, so sometimes the spiritual master asks you to do something which is, you may think, no, I shouldn't do that. But eventually, over a period of time, when you see, it turns out to be, yes, I'm happy that I followed that instruction. Because the spiritual master knows us more than what we know ourselves.
This is on behalf of a friend. Is it true that when the lineage leaves the spiritual world, the first birth is Brahma?
Not necessarily the first leaves the spiritual world from top down, falls from the spiritual world. Okay. When he falls down, yeah, it is mentioned he gets a position of a Brahma first.
And Brahma is Mahajan and...
Not all Brahmas are Mahajans. Because some of the Brahmas are Gnanis. Yes, our Brahma is Haridas Thakur, who is a Mahajan. But many of the Brahmas are on the Gnani platform. They are not pure devotees of the Lord. So, and the proof is we are here. We were at one point Lord Brahma. So...
And even sometimes, because there is no qualifier on the Lord himself.
That's right. Sometimes the Lord himself is mentioned in the second canto. Yeah, second canto, end of second canto is mentioned. The Lord himself takes the position of Brahma or Lord Shiva sometimes.
Shri Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai.